in the name of Jesus, for none can compare to you, Lord. Oh, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise in Jesus' name. So praise the Lord for another morning. I love you. God bless you. And then tell someone of the Lord's goodness. Share testimony. Share about what he's done in and through your life. Praise the Lord. For truly, truly, we can't outbe God given. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you and we love you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to your holy name, God. And until next week, the Lord willing, we shall continue on with a message that the Lord's laying on our hearts, a focus that God has given us in these days and times. And I thank and I praise you for listening. In Jesus' name, thank you. Praise you. We love you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank God.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
The wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell him, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're not ashamed, all over the building, say, Lord, I love you. Lord, Lord, I love you. You've been so good to me. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I love you. I really do. I really do. And with all of our hearts and our minds, we say, Lord, we praise you. God, our Father, we thank you now for this wonderful opportunity to hear from you. Speak to our hearts, minister to us through your word. Lord, remind us afresh that you've not forgotten about us, our issues, our problems, our promises. Remind us afresh that it's not us, but you who will make things happen as you said they would. Lord, with simple childlike faith, we believe you. We honor you. We praise you. And we love you. So thank you in advance for what you're going to say to us, show to us, remind us of. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah, chapter 4. Verse 6. And as you are preparing to go to this word, I want to remind you that God is able to do anything. And you've heard me say many times, God has got this thing fixed. And this is just one more example of how God says himself that he's got this thing fixed. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. The word of the Lord reads, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Zechariah deals with a series of visions, inclusive of this work. There is much going on. A lot of figurative language, a lot of symbols and signs, a lot of things prophetically spoken, some fulfilled and some yet unfulfilled. But the simple message, because if you would read it without an understanding, it would not make a lot of sense if you just read these 14 verses. But the simple message is that God speaks to an angel who speaks to the prophet, who tells the prophet to tell the prince, Zerubbabel, and the priest, Joshua, that the promise of God is true. That what he has called Zerubbabel to do, which was to restore the temple, the church, to do that great work, and that he would finish the work. But in the midst of this call, in the midst of this assignment, he runs into great problems. In this word, this problem is likened unto a mountain, and it's referring to Darius the First, and he's the king, and there is an objection always to the purpose and the plan of God for your life by the enemy. Don't ever think that when God calls you and assigns you that there will not be any confrontation, any adversarial problems that will not ensue. But when he gives you an assignment, he gives you an anointing to complete the assignment. And so this message simply encourages the prince to know that what he has called him to do, in spite of the mountainous problems that present themselves as a preventive measure for this coming to pass, how it gets in the way and slows down progress. You know how it is when you start off good and it looks like everything is going well, and then one thing after the next thing delays it, and next thing after that. They say it this way: if it ain't one thing, it's another. And it just seems like that pattern just repeats itself. And so he's running into interference because The enemy does not want the church of God to be built. But what I do need you to see is that when God says something, he's able to back it up. Our problem is we just can't trust him at his word. We're trying to figure out how he's going to do it and through what means he's going to do it. And then we look at ourselves and see our inabilities and our limitations and our difficulties in comprehending the fullness of what he has said. And we don't see any way possible that it could work based on our finite minds. And we put God in that little box that we're in. But don't you know God wants us to know that he's got all power in his hands. And I think the message for the church is to realize if God said it, that settles it. I know we've heard it, but we don't believe it, because if we believed it, we'd stop worrying and fidgeting and acting as if it's not going to happen. We stop letting anxiety fill us with the fact that if it didn't happen right then, it's not going to happen at all. If God didn't give you a date and a time, and he said it's going to happen, it's going to happen sometime. Stop trying to put God in a box. And what God wanted Zerubbabel to know was that he was in control. And I want to say this to somebody here today, and I need you to help me preach this if you don't mind. Tell somebody sitting next to you, God is in control. Things may be out of control, but God is in control. Listen. When you begin to know this in your spirit, man, it's going to change the way you feel about a lot of things. It's going to change the way you think about a lot of things. It's going to change the way you expect a lot of things when you know that God is able to back up what he says. First point I want to make out of this, because there is a lot here and much that will never be understood by simply reading. Have to research it, go deep down underneath. But here it is. First thing you need to realize is that if you have a life filled with purpose, the purpose always comes from God. If you have a life filled with purpose, the purpose comes from God. Now, why is this important to know? Well, first of all, it helps you to understand why you're here. See, the reason why a lot of folk don't know why they're here is because they don't know their purpose. You see, when you discover your purpose and what God has for you, and when you recognize that what God is doing through you, he created you to do what he is doing through you, because he knew that what he wanted to be done could only be done the way he wanted it done by you. Now, don't get me wrong, he knows you're not the only one who can do it. But you're the only one who can do it like you do it. Are y'all hearing me today? Stop thinking you're so insignificant and that your voice won't make a difference and what you do is no better than what somebody else does or this, that. Listen, it may not matter to nobody else, but can I tell you, it matters to God? When Gideon was told he was a mighty man, do you know it blew him away? Because nobody, his mama, his daddy, his girlfriend, his wife, his friend, nobody ever called him a mighty man. And you know, if nobody else has ever called you something, you know, sometimes it's hard for you to believe that you are what God says you are. Wait a minute, nobody else saw that? I'm a mighty man of valor. Wait a minute, I ain't even seen that. And so he's wondering, how could God say that? I'll tell you why God said it and how God could say it. God said it to him because God placed it in him. And God is not a man that he should lie. If he just said it, it's going to happen because he said it. And when you begin to hear God in your spirit, man, believe God in your heart of hearts, and know that God says what he means and means what he says and gives you an assignment with purpose, it is always to bring him glory first and foremost. And listen at this, every time you bring him glory, he is going to bring you goods. It's a principle of God. You see, that's why people who really know how to give him glory just keep on getting blessed. Because the more you give God glory, listen, this whole earth is filled with his goods. He doesn't have problems giving you his goods. Listen, he's just not trying to share his glory. And when you recognize that and realize that, and you start giving God what he wants, then God starts giving you what you want. And so here, the purpose that Zerubbabel has is to rebuild the temple of God. And he plumbs the line and he starts the work. But issues come up, which brings my next point. Don't think that if you have a purpose, you won't have problems. But here's what I want you to know. Your problems are not God's problems. In other words, what is problematic to you is not problematic to God. Hear me well, because this message brought in today's reality, brought into your situation, is this. Lord, I'm dealing with this issue in my life. I'm dealing with this problem in my life. It is preventing me from doing what you've called me to do. It is in the way. It is distracting me. It is slowing me down. It is holding me up. I don't know how to handle this, and I need you to work it out. Now listen to that. See, what our problem is we keep trying to do God's job. And all our job is to do what we can do. And that's to believe that he's got this thing fixed. Listen at what he tells the man of God. Listen. Zechariah tells them this. The angel says, then he answered me and said unto me, he spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the prince. What is he saying to Zerubbabel? Not by might. Now, this word might has to do with military strength and power and brawn, muscle, ability. This word might means using what you have as a result of the strength that you have, understanding what you have in your arsenal. God is saying to him, it's not going to happen by you using your military strength, your military power or prowess. It's not going to happen with all of the men you have ready to stand and fight. He says, nor by power, nor by the ability or the approval or the authority of any other person. Why is this important to know? Because what God is trying to get them to understand is you need to reach a point where when odds become so great, it's not a human thing, it's a God thing. You see, when certain problems mount so high and they get into lofty places, etc., it's in the spirit realm, it's in the darker realm, it's not any human power, it's not bullets and guns and knives and staves and marching soldiers and all of these things that's going to win the battle. No, sometime you got to understand that God wants you to step back and let him step in and win this battle for you, because the battle is not yours. You're fighting a fight you can't win. You don't have what it takes to come up against the enemy. He beats you every time in and of yourself. Without the power of God, you are helpless and hopeless against the power of the enemy. Hear me, people. You are defenseless without the power of God. So stop trying to fight it. It's not going to be done by what you can gather up. It's not going to be done by who you can call and get on your side and what power and authority by which you can go in and try and attack this, or by what military strategies you can pull together and see how you can win this thing. It will not be done by human intervention. There are some things going on in your life. Nobody but God can work it out. Nobody but God. And you've got to recognize that that comes from God himself. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I believe it's the New Living Translation that says the Lord of the armies of heaven. Now listen to this. If the Lord of the armies of heaven says, I don't need your might and your power, because if he could send one angel in one night that could kill 185,000. Listen, when Jesus prayed that he could have 72,000 angels come at his beck and call, that would have been firepower that would have taken out 13 plus billion people, and you ain't got that many people on earth. So if he's got that kind of power, what makes you think he needs your little strength? When he told Abram and Sarah that he was going to make them prosperous, bless them with children of like the stars of the sky and the sands of the earth, they couldn't believe that. And when he took longer than they thought, they tried to use their might and power and messed up. He was already old when he started. He was 75, she was 65. They had already got their AARP cards. They were already in retirement. But the Lord said, we're going to have a child, Abraham. Listen, how many of you know it doesn't matter how much snow is on the roof, God can still put fire in the fireplace? So yeah, come on now, don't sit here and act holier than thou. God knows how to light your fire. God knows how to bring to pass